So my journey into Lent fasting as an act of repentance, mourning and contrition is deepening. And I'm learning that it has a strong heritage, even if it's generally been forgotten or overshadowed by other messages about Lent in our current day. A few days ago, in preparing for Ash Wednesday, I came across a liturgy I'd never read before, but which is part of the 1662 Book of Common Prayer called A Commination. They certainly took Lent seriously 360 years ago. It's an intense liturgy that takes seriously the words of Jesus and of Yahweh in both the New and the Old Testaments. It assumes the seriousness of sin, both in terms of the way it separates us from God in the present age, but which can also, if not dealt with, ultimately, after the day of the Lord, lead us to eternal separation from God in the age to come. It's designed specifically to save us from this eventuality and to cause us to do everything possible to rethink our lives and to draw us again into penitence, casting ourselves on the mercy of God revealed in our Messiah Jesus, our atoning sacrifice. Here we find a Christianity that takes seriously the future orientation of the New Testament, which assumes that the time is short and the day of God's wrath is real. It's not easy reading, but it strikes me as being faithful to the whole biblical narrative from beginning to end. While there's a high degree of discomfort in thinking of an angry God in our own day, we ought not to ignore the fact that all down the centuries of recorded scripture, God has overtly declared his anger, his wrath, especially against his chosen people for their sin in their abandonment of his laws. Prophet after prophet in Old Testament times railed against Israel for its sin, as did Jesus in the New Testament. I have discovered that God's anger or wrath at sin and sinners is mentioned around 600 times in the Bible. Taken together, we see that God is uniquely holy and cannot abide sin. He loathes the very idea of it, and he rightly acts against it in judgment. Indeed, this is why he sent Jesus. In light of this, while holding on to the grace revealed in Messiah Jesus and in the atoning sacrifice that covers all who believe, this liturgy includes the longest prayer in the Book of Common Prayer. Here is an excerpt. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, take notice right now while the day of salvation lasts. The night is coming, the night when none can work and nothing can change. Let us, while we have the light, believe in the light. Let us walk as children of the light, so that we are not cast into utter darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let us not abuse the goodness of God, who calls us mercifully to change our ways. In his endless pity, he promises us forgiveness of that which is in the past, but only if, with a perfect and true heart, we return unto him. For though our sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. And though they be like purple, yet they shall be made white as wool. The Lord says, turn from your wickedness, and your sin shall not be your destruction. Cast away from you all your ungodliness that you have done. Make your hearts and spirits new. Why will you die, O house of Israel, when you know that I have no pleasure in your death? Turn then, repent, and you shall live. Although we have sinned, yet we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He was pierced for our transgressions and struck down for our offences. Given this wonderful grace, let us return to Christ Jesus. He mercifully receives all truly repentant sinners. We must always remind and assure ourselves that he is indeed ready to welcome us back home. He is most willing to pardon us. But all of this, again, is only if we come back to him with faithful repentance, if we submit ourselves to him, and from this point on set ourselves to walk in his ways. We are forgiven if we will take his easy yoke, if we replace the heavy burden of our sins with the light burden he offers us, following him in lowliness, patience, and love. We must seek to be ordered by the governance of the Holy Spirit. We must always seek his glory and his alone, while serving him appropriately in our vocation with thanksgiving. If we do these things, Christ will deliver us from the curse of the law. He will deliver us from the extreme judgment which shall come upon those sinners that shall be set to his left, and he shall set us on his right, giving us the gracious blessing of his Father, whilst commanding us to take possession of his glorious kingdom. In his infinite mercy, he has promised to bring into his kingdom all of us who truly repent and believe his holy gospel. Amen. How does this strike you? How does it move you? Can you imagine responding to it? This Lent, I am leaning into the discomfort of such prayers and liturgies in search of a deeper cleansing and renewal. I'm looking to Jesus, my Saviour, our Saviour, for healing and restoration. I'm casting myself on his mercy once again.